shifting gears into a new series on communications. And this is probably like a parenthetical series in the relationship series, because there's no such thing. If you ask anybody what's the number one cause of problems, they'll say communication. So, you know, so it's a part of the relationship series, but I'm going to be talking specifically about communications. And today, what I really want to talk about is something that happens, kind of, it's an attitude, if you will, that happens actually before communication starts. I also want to talk to you about, like, a tip, if you will, that solves communication problems, or at least orients them in a godly way. And I want to say it and teach it to you, because let me tell you something else about it. As you're learning how to counsel your family, counsel each other, husband and wife, counseling your coworkers and your friends. And by the way, counseling is just giving people advice, and everybody counsels. Let me just say that already. The question is, how good a job do you do? Everybody gives advice. The question is your advice good advice, or is it, right? And so what this whole series has been is to equip you how to counsel from the scriptures, God's way, with his thoughts and his ways, so that we are better at that when we're talking to each other and we're caring for each other's souls in the church, in our workplaces, in our marriages, in all these different settings that God puts us, which is our whole lives. And so we've laid a lot of foundation over the last months, and we're building on that foundation even now, simply to say that we know that when we come to communications, when I come to communications with someone, and remember, I'm not just talking about, like, you know, where are we going to go for lunch? It's, you know, this heartfelt communication, and usually it comes in the form of some sort of something that we may disagree about or something like that, that when we come to communications, we come as people that have two primary problems, and one extraordinary gift. The two primary problems are that we're fallen sinners. Number one, everybody say amen. So everybody you're going to have a conversation with is a fallen sinner, right? And we have no clue what we're talking about. That's number two. That's the noetic effect for sin, right? That means we don't see things God's way naturally. Would everybody agree with that, by the way? And if you were trained, even, like, let's say that you're like my beloved friend over here who was raised by a preacher, so like she probably knows God's opinion about everything. But even then, she still has the fallen effects of sin in her heart and mind that will influence her against the will of God and against his way of thinking about something instead of with it. Does that make sense? So the presupposition that we have to come to when we're talking to one another and having communication with one another is the subject of my last week's message, and that's humility, right? And we have to come to each other with some degree of humility, that we're both sinners, that we both don't know what we're talking about from primarily, and that we need God and his wisdom and his way in order to get out of whatever we're trying to get out of in communications. And so the first aspect of communications then is for me to orient my heart properly. And what is the proper orientation of the heart in communications? Well, communications is maybe simply, and this is, I put this in the blurb, and it wasn't well thought, by the way, and so I could do much better job with this sentence, so don't, like, write it down or anything. But the heart of communications is a desire to hear and understand and stay in the committed, loving relationship, right? In other words, communications is for me to listen to you and end up still in love with you. I don't. That's if you're my friend or my spouse. It doesn't matter, right? And so to communicate to you in such a way that I hear you and understand you, and I'm going to argue that that doesn't happen until you're satisfied that I've understood you. We'll talk about that and some of the practical details of it later on. But tonight it's just that to hear and to understand in a way that is seeking your good. So love is not demanding that you hear me from a love's perspective, right? Love is me sacrificially shutting up so that I can hear you. Somebody say amen to that. And somebody elbow your husband and say, I wish you would do that. Okay. So I have three passages that I want to work through and a verse or two to kind of lay the foundation of communications. I had a one time I brought a painting up here that I used to do in a communication conference that I did back in Phoenix, and essentially it was a heart. If you imagine a heart, and the right side of the heart was an ear, and you can kind of draw an ear into the heart. You can imagine that for those of you who know how to draw ears. And then on the other side, it was just this this bright place where the Holy Spirit engaged the heart. Through listening, right? The earthy tones, the flesh tones on the one side, the heavenly light tones on the other side, right? So that the essence of listening is God, is me hearing someone's heart, and then the backdrop of the cross, right? So was in the painting. And so, and that was just kind of a visual, if you will. I had that and almost brought it tonight, but then I had this thought, and this is insecurity, by the way, but I thought, I think I've already showed it to him before, and I'm not sure anybody actually liked it, so I won't bring it back. And so, but that was kind of what it was. So let me read you these texts. 1 Corinthians 3, 1 through 4. Oh, and by the way, I picked what you might consider to be like paraphrases or a little bit looser versions of the translation so that you could get the gist of them in each case. You'll see, it's the same thing, but I just picked a little bit looser translations. Dear brothers and sisters, 1 Corinthians 3, 1 through 4, when I was with you, I couldn't talk to you as I would to spiritual people. I had to talk to you as though you belonged to this world, or, so lost people belong to this world, or as though you were infants in Christ, in the Christian life. So either babes or lost. And here's, he said, I had to feed you with milk, not solid food, because you weren't ready for anything stronger. And he said, and you still aren't ready, for you're still controlled by your sinful nature. Instead of being controlled by who? Yeah, God's Spirit, right? Instead of yielding to God's Spirit in communications, you're being controlled by your natural self, which is always going to be a messed up version. And this, look what he says. So, and here's the symptom that led him to know that they were either spiritually mature or lost. And he said, you're jealous of one another and you quarrel with each other. And then he goes on to say this. Doesn't that prove that you're being controlled by your sinful nature? Aren't you living like people of the world? And what he, and of course, if you, for those of you who know the context of this passage, he was comparing that one said they were of Paul and the other said they were of Apollos. And, you know, they were picking guys that were their favorites, if you will, and missing the big picture and arguing over it, right? So, but you could just take this in any communication. The fact that we're quarreling means that we, in other words, the fact that we're not having peaceful, loving conversations and instead that we're quarreling means that we're acting spiritually immature. And it also means that we are acting out of our sinful, old self, if you will. You're our old natural self, the natural man or the natural mind or however you want to say that. So, now let me flip to this passage in Philippians, this is Philippians 2. Listen to this passage. If you've gotten anything at all out of following Christ, If his love has made any difference in your life. Now, remember that we talked about that the motivation for everything that the Christian does is not what we can get from the other person, but that we've been loved by Christ, right? So that's what Paul's talking about right here. So he says, if his love, Christ's love, has made any difference in your life, if being in the community of the Spirit, that's the church, has meant anything to you, if you have heart, if you have a heart, if you care, then do me a favor, and here's the favor. Agree with one another, love each other, and be deeply spirited friends. Do you see what he's saying? He's saying it's literally the byproduct of being a Christian to agree with each other, to love one another, and be deeply spirited friends. Somebody say amen. Right? Exactly. And that does, you know, so that means each of us, okay, so is it possible for us to live our lives together without some degree of conflict? No, but why? Because we're all sinners and the sin's in the flesh. But the way that we deal with the conflict and the conversation when we need to have it, and you do, you can't ignore it and run away from it, is this way. And then he says this, don't push your way to the front. Don't sweet talk your way to the top. Two different things. One is this bullying, if you will, in conversations. That was what I was guilty of, honestly, for the first third of my marriage, is pushing my way to the top, demanding that I be heard, demanding that my way be accepted as the way, as if I was Jesus. It was Jesus who said, I'm the way, not me, by the way. Well, you know, I'll talk about that in a minute. He says, put yourself aside and help the other person get ahead. So remember, this is the thing, that communications is an act of service and an act of love, where I'm trying to hear you so that we can hear each other, so that we can come to what? Unity, not continued disagreement. How many times have you heard this? Well, we'll just have to agree to disagree. Well, whatever on that. And I don't want to like tease out the nuance of that, because you'll see in a minute that there is something that matters as it relates to that. And then listen to what he says in this. And this is out of the Phillips translation. Just flat love this second phrase. None of you should think of his only of his own affairs, but you should learn to see things from the other person's point of view. Learn to see things from the other person's point of view. Number one tip in communication is communication is about listening, and communication is about listening to the heart of the other person to hear what they're trying to tell you, their point of view. And okay, so then let's just talk practically about what the trouble with that is. The trouble with that is that I want to weigh in fast, right? I want to be heard, not to hear, right? You remember the James verse that says, beloved, be quick to what? Listen, slow to becoming angry. Yes, exactly. And by the way, if you are quick to listen, you will be slow to anger. They are connected, right? So quick to listen. I lead with my ears. So leadership is service, right? I serve by listening. And what am I trying to listen? Not to the content. So do you know, like, I don't know if y'all how articulate y'all are, and some people are very good at framing something almost perfectly the first time, but that is not my experience. What I usually do is blurb something out there, and then my wife has to grab a hold of it and say, okay, so you're trying to say this, and I was like, no, that's not what I meant. And then I have to say it again. And then she goes, oh, okay, so this is what you mean. Well, yeah, but what about this? There's this. Oh, okay, well, so you're saying this and then this. And yeah, but I mean, there's this too, you know. It's like, well, this is what I'm really trying to say, you know. And that's how communication actually goes. And how my wife serves me and loves is she waits until she really actually hears my heart. And then she bears witness to me that she's heard it by letting me know. So here's what I'm hearing, honey. You think this and this, and then it comes from this, and that it comes from this, and it comes from this. And I'm like, yes, you've got it. And that's a gift, by the way. That's a gift. Over the top of one counseling center, it said you can listen someone's soul into existence. And for those of you who've never been heard and have been shut up your whole life by some overpowering somebody who was always right and would never let you get your 2 cents in. And anybody know what I'm talking about here? You know how big a deal being listened to is. It's an act of love, and it's an act of service. And it's the only way that you can ever actually communicate with one another. Well, let me be very practical about that. Because if you don't let me get out what I meant by what I said, then you're arguing with something other than what I meant by what I said. Hello? Does that make sense? And what happens is that many times we're like, there's usually a detail person in the family, one of the other partners, or in the relationship, no matter what the communication is, even if no matter who you're chit-chatting about, there's a detail person in the relationship. And so they'll pick up the details and start beating you up over the details. Right? And okay, fair enough. Problem is they're not hearing what you mean by what you're saying. They're not hearing your heart. This is what he said. You should learn to see things from another person's point of view. Here's the second problem that we have in communication. One is just not listening and not doing what I just told you and waiting until I've actually heard what your side is or what your point of view is from your heart to my satisfaction. She convinces me that she's heard my heart. Okay, so then here's the other piece. The other piece is this. Through pride and presumption come nothing but strife. Through pride and presumption, this is Proverbs 13:10, come nothing but strife. If you're having strife, pride's in there and presumption's in there. Now, what's presumption? Well, I'm fixing to get to a home run verse that you're all familiar with, and I'm going to talk about this verse as it relates to communications. But let me start here with this proverb. So pride means that my opinion matters or is right, or my opinion matters more than yours, or my opinion needs to have, you know, be elevated above your opinion, right? So that's pride. And presumption is that I know what your problem is. Listen, hon, I know where you're wrong. Gosh. I mean, let me break it down for you. You know what I mean? How about this one? I know what you're thinking. Don't look at me like that. I know exactly what you're thinking. You know, and so what happens is that I'm leading with presumption. And, of course, you could argue after being married 37 years that she pretty much does. But even still, she has to think of something about me that's always true, that I'm growing in the grace and the knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ. And she still needs to hear my heart. She still needs to see, because she might say, oh, well, you're getting a little bit better at that now that I listen to you, you know, instead of like, I know where you're going with this. You know, so guess where that happens? Well, I'm always defensive, right? And I'm always feeling like now I'm being threatened and now I have to, you know. So anytime you're in defensive posture, right, your partner, your conversation partner is the enemy, because you're having to defend yourself from your enemy. That's what defensive means. My enemy's fixing to hurt me. My enemy doesn't trust me. My enemy's trying to get one over on me. And I'm defensive, meaning I need to defend myself from my enemy who's fixing to hurt me. Well, we're not each other's enemies. Somebody say amen. Amen. We're each other's dearly beloved friends. We're each other's brothers and sisters. We're each other's husbands and wives. What in the world do we need to be defensive about? We just need to hear each other. Okay, so pride and presumption. So one is that we don't hear, and then the other is that we hear with pride and presumption. And guaranteed that the outcome of that is strife. Comes nothing but strife, the Bible says. Okay, so listen to this passage, which you know really well. This is in 2 Corinthians 10. For though we may be living in the flesh, we are not fighting after the way of the flesh. For the arms with which we are fighting are not those of the flesh, but they are strong before God for the destruction of high places, putting an end to what? Speculations. Next verse. Putting an end to what? Speculations and presumptions, and every high thing which is lifted up against the knowledge of God, and causing every thought to come under the authority of Christ. So here's, let me tell you, that this is number two in communications. So Angel and I, we're having at it. We're having a fight. She's trying to help me understand something. I'm hard-headed. I'm not listening. I'm trying to listen. So I come to her. I love her. I want us to leave friends. And somebody said, by the way, that conflict and the communication in conflict is one of the greatest pathways to intimacy. Because I finally learned some stuff. You learn some things about my heart you never knew if you stick around. So what happens is that she's trying to hear my heart, and I'm trying to hear her heart. But at the end of the day, when we both hurt each other's hearts, guess what we do? We submit both of our points of view to what God thinks about it. That's the tip, by the way. That's the tip. Because only God actually knows anything. Remember how I led off? We're sinners and don't know nothing. Guess who does know something? God does. And so we submit ours, both of us, even after we've heard our hearts in love to one another, and we've heard each other's points of views, we both submit our own points of views to, is that what God thinks about it? And then both of us together begin to discover what it is that God thinks about it. And guess what that does? That causes unity, not division. As we both together begin to say, what would God do? How does God think about this? Is there anything that we can know from His word or His will or His way about this? What are His thoughts about this? And how can we, and by the way, you can't be presumptuous about God. That's just crazy. Well, I don't think God would care. It's like, okay, show me that verse. You know, about whatever it is, right? I mean, that's where we dig into the Word of God and we find out what the solution is. And you're saying, oh, Bobby, come now. There's not a biblical solution for everything we're chit-chatting about. Yes, there is if you get it all the way down to the heart. Because if you get it all the way down to the heart, it has nothing to do usually with the surface thing we started fighting about. Isn't that true? It's always that I felt offended or not valued or not loved or not cared for or something along those lines. And God has a lot to say about that, doesn't it? And then what happens is, once we've submitted our conversation to God and we've allowed Him to frame it for us, then guess what we do? We just repent, or in other words, change our mind. We ask each other to forgive each other. We move, both of us move towards what God thinks about it. And then guess what happens? We're at peace with each other. We've learned, we've grown, we've changed our mind. Iron has sharpened iron. We've come along the pathway of spiritual growth. What did it take up front? Real life, humble hearts, people committed to the outcome of love and more intimate relationship when we're done, open ears, listening to hearts until we've heard each other well, and then submitting what we've heard to the Lord to ask Him what His point of view about it all is. And then we work it out from there. Listen, once you've got down to the heart issue, the details, like let's say, okay, Thanksgiving's coming up, or Christmas is coming up, right? So are we going to go to your people's place or my people's place for Christmas, right? And so that's a fairly common conversation that people have, and And then, so, you know, you end up saying, well, last year we went to yours, or this we went to yours, or something like that. Or I think in the South, everybody just has 11 Christmases, and it solves it. I mean, I have a girlfriend who just said that she just got today was somewhere having Thanksgiving with one of her things, because in order to do all the Thanksgiving, they have to have like 40 of them or something, you know. And so, but anyway, so my deal is that, so that's a something you got to talk about. Well, what are we really trying to do? What are we really trying to do? We're trying to love both the families, stay connected to both the families, right? Honor each other, outdo one another in showing honor. And that's what we're really trying to do. So we ask the Lord, Lord, give us wisdom. We just want to love people. We want to stay connected. And so, you know, and you just, so the details are always flesh themselves out much easier once you've gotten back to the heart of your problem. Communications 101, you're looking for the heart of the problem. The way to find the heart of the problem is to listen to each other with loving ears, knowing that that once you've heard each other well, both of you are going to submit your points of view to the Lord to see what He wants you to do next. So I know that sounds vague, and I hate for it to sound vague, but I promise you, if you just act that out, you'll see that it'll get you somewhere. When was the last time that you were into it? That you, both of you said, okay, I totally understand your point of view. What does the Lord want us to do? When was the last time you did that? I promise you, you don't usually do it when you're ticked. But listen to me, if you would do it even when you're ticked, it sounds awkward the first time. And the Lord's heard a lot of ticked conversations at my house. And He's hearing them anyways, by the way. You might as well submit them to Him. Right? And then what happens is you'll find that He'll give you peace and He'll give you a way out. Listen, the Bible says in Corinthians 10 that there's no pressure that you've ever experienced that isn't common, and that God is faithful, and that with that stress and with that pressure, He will provide for you a way out so that you'll be able to bear up under the pressure. Now that, my friend, is a promise from your God that you can take to the bank in communications. Let's pray. Lord, we love You. We're glad that You made us to connect through words. We're glad that one of the greatest ways that we love each other is to hear each other and to speak words into each other. And we pray, Lord, that You would govern those conversations so that they would honor You, glorify the gospel, and Your will and Your way in our lives. And we will do it. We'll do it. In Jesus' name, amen.